Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast, where we share spiritual and practical ideas for how to live family life with a beautiful, self-sacrificing love. In this special broadcast, we spoke with Patience Sunny, Director of Engagement at Them Before Us. Patience tells us about the organization Them Before Us and how they seek to protect the rights of children, especially when it comes to having a mother and father. She also shares important policies that affect children's rights throughout the United States.
Thank you, Patience, so much for being on our show today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So I'd love to just start, have our audience get to know you a little bit. And so about how the founding of Them Before Us began and then how you got involved.
Yeah, so our founder, Katie Faust, says that Them Before Us was founded because she got mad. She got mad at the ways that adults were ignoring children's rights, and children were being sidelined and marginalized in the conversation as the family was being redefined, and kids were the victims of adult decisions. And so she started speaking out about that. That eventually became the organization Them Before Us, launched in 2018. I was working in the pro-life, pro-family space around that time, started 2018, 2019. And so I was familiar with some of Katie's work. And then a few years ago, got connected through a former professor who knew that I was looking for some writing opportunities. Katie was looking for a writer. And that was kind of the beginning of that connection. But part of what really drew me to Them Before Us and Them Before Us's mission is that I grew up in a family that does foster care. And so I saw firsthand the ways that kids are impacted when adults refuse to do hard things and when they put their desires ahead of the needs and rights of children. These were kids that I knew as a child and have continued to know as an adult. So for me, it was really a matter of knowing firsthand the ways that kids are hurt when adults refuse to do hard things and being drawn to an organization that puts children's rights first.
Wow. Can you explain to us, go a little deeper about those core principles of Them Before Us and how they, encourage adults to do hard things? I love that line. I want to keep them. Adults to do hard things. Very, very powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. So the name Them Before Us is all about putting them, the children, before us, the adults. So as the family is being redefined in the midst of the sexual revolution, adult agendas are being pushed forward. What's happening is children's rights are taking the back seat. And when we talk about children's rights, we're talking about fundamental rights like their right to their parents, their right to their mother and father. These things are being dismissed for the sake of the adults involved, where an adult will say, this is something I really want, and I'm okay with the fact that it's going to negatively affect a child or hurt a child, that I'm going to pursue this thing. So whether that's redefining the family or it's pushing for an agenda that really disrespects what children need their mother and father. And when adults are unwilling to do the work to make sure that children have their mother and father, kids are the ones who bear that burden and pay the price.
And you're calling responsibility to the adults because they have the ability to make choices and to choose things that's really powerful that you're calling that. Do you have any examples of, let's say, currently, are you a national organization or an international organization?
So we do both. We're primarily engaged nationally, but we have had the opportunity to partner internationally with some organizations that are doing work in other countries, Europe and South Korea. Our goal is to get that message as widely spread as possible, but especially when it comes to like public policy work, that's something that we're focused nationally and working with state level allies as well.
Excellent. And what would be some of those current pressing issues or the policies that you are partnering with right now?
Yeah, so one of the things that I see a lot in my role as engagement director is legislation that's redefining the family. And sometimes it's easy to think, oh, well, that already happened back in 2015 with the Supreme Court's Obergefell decision, but those ramifications just keep coming up. So one of the bills that I've seen pop up in several states now is called the Uniform Parentage Act. And it's based on model legislation that was written by the Uniform Law Commission. And what it does is it completely redefines the concept of parenthood. And usually it's presented as, oh, we're just updating our law, making sure that our language is modern. But what's really happening is it's changing the notion of what parenthood is from the natural bond between a parent and child to the intention of the adults involved. So it's expanding donor conception. It's usually legalizing surrogacy, which is an arrangement where a couple or an individual will contract a woman to carry a pregnancy for them. And then when she gives birth, that baby is given to the commissioning parents in exchange for money. And the child goes through the trauma of maternal separation, losing the person that she's been bonding with for 9 months during that pregnancy. So that's usually rolled into these bills. And then another thing that gets incorporated into these bills is states are giving courts the discretion to put more than two parents on a child's birth certificate. So polyparenting is very quietly being enabled through these bills. So I would say that kind of legislation is probably the threat that I'm seeing most frequently, and that's the most direct attack on children's rights to their parents. But really, all matters of policy do eventually affect children. And that's actually something that Them Before Us recently released a book helping people navigate that called Pro-Child Politics, where we brought together experts on a range of different policy matters, national security, immigration, energy policy, and said, okay, here's how children are affected by this policy issue. So it's a great explainer for people who are looking at just how to think through politics from a child-centric framework.
Wow. And these bills that you just mentioned earlier, I want to repeat them because I think that I've never heard those before.
Yeah,
And they're
absolutely.
separate from like a pro-life bill, or they're not in conjunction with those, right? So we hear a lot about
No, yeah.
things that are happening in the pro-life movement or within abortion, but then this is totally separate. So I'm sorry, can you just repeat again what that was called?
Yep, that's called the Uniform Parentage Act. So we've seen it proposed in a few different states recently. Massachusetts actually just passed one this past summer, unfortunately. Pennsylvania is considering one. Minnesota considered parts of one during the past legislative session, and it's anticipated that they may consider it again. So around the country, we're starting to see these bills pop up, or sometimes we'll just see a portion of the bill where it's just legalizing surrogacy, or sometimes just removing mothers and fathers from parentage law, where it's completely replacing mother and father language with gender-neutral terms like parents, and that's something that we saw proposed in a couple states recently as well.
Okay, thank you for sharing that. I'm wondering how you guys navigate the balance between adults' desires for, policies and things and the children's rights, and how you balance the idea of the family structure with those desires and with the needs of the children.
Well, I would say it's not really a matter of balance when you have rights versus desires happening. So you have rights on one side and desires on the other, and if we say we're going to balance those two things, then both sides have to compromise a little. But we don't compromise someone's rights for the sake of someone else's desires, because that's always going to be an injustice. So in an ideal world, there's never a balance going on. We're saying rights come first and desires come second. What that looks like practically is helping people understand that this is a matter of rights versus desires. It's not children want certain things. Children want a mom and dad. It's children have a right to a mom and dad. Children have a right to life. Children have a right to not be treated as a commodity, to not be bought and sold. So it's really a matter of flipping the script and saying that it's not about a balance. It's about putting children's rights first.
And then also making parents do hard things or making adults do hard things. I love that. It goes right back to that.
Exactly.
That's
Yes.
great. And how do you guys, so you have this book that you wrote that you guys collected and collaborated on. How do you go about like educating policymakers on these decisions that they're making, or do you start with parents and then you go to have the parent? How does that work?
We start with everyone that we can. So we've had the opportunities to talk individually with legislators, sometimes to groups of legislators at various conferences and such. Whenever there's the opportunity for that conversation, just helping people see, hey, here are the rights that children have. Here are the ways that those rights are being violated. But then also engaging everyone else in the conversation as well, helping parents understand that, helping just the average citizen understands that children's rights matter and children's rights are being violated. On every level that we can engage people, we are engaging as much as we can to flip that script, to change the conversation, to say that children's rights come first.
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine you probably come across some critics too. Do you, what do you, how do you handle that? How do you handle that animosity, probably, or just criticism of what your guys are doing?
Well, I mean, it kind of depends on the critic. Some people are out there, challenging what we're saying because they want to know more. They don't understand our viewpoint. It's a new concept to them. Other people are just out there being trolls. So I would say ignore the trolls. But when there's opportunity to engage with someone and help them see, help them challenge some of their assumptions. And I think that there's some level of common ground with just about everyone. Everyone has some sort of experience where they've seen children hurt by adults. And it's a tragic reality, but it's true. Whether it's, they experienced their own parents' divorce and saw the ways that they were hurt by that. And it really drove home for them, I did need my mom and dad. And I grew up with only one of them because one of them was absent. That's a great starting point for helping people see, yeah, that was wrong. That shouldn't have happened to you. And it shouldn't be happening to other kids either. And it shouldn't be happening in other ways, in addition to just divorce. So sometimes that's the entry point. Sometimes it's, people who are really concerned about social issues and being able to connect the dots of, hey, when kids don't have their mom and dad, they're more likely to end up involved with the criminal justice system. They're more likely to struggle in education and drop out of high school. They're more likely to engage in risky behaviors. And we can address all of these social issues simply by saying children have a right to their mom and dad. Children's rights in the family matter. And if we address that root cause, we can do a lot to heal these other issues.
I'm just thinking about, what you were saying about just even parents, like a divorce or any other, I guess, crime against a child's rights. I think that I think we're so used to adults making decisions that the children are not even considered in the midst of all these decisions that are being made. Because there's a lot of decisions to be made. But
Yes.
so how would you what would be some kind of consequences, let's say, let's think long, big picture, like long term, societal consequences if, children's rights were continued to be kind of just pushed aside and not respected.
I mean, I think we've already started to see some of those consequences where, we have years of research on the negative outcomes of the children raised without their dad. And I think we're going to continue to see that compounded as the family continues to be redefined, in policy and in culture, and children face new kinds of loss as a result. So one of the things that we do at Them Before Us is we tell the stories of the kids who have been negatively impacted. We share their stories on our website. Kids who were born via surrogacy and who have struggled with identity issues as a result, struggled with the feeling of I was exchanged for money at one point in my life, struggling with the trauma of maternal separation and the way that that continues to affect kids throughout their entire lives. I think we'll see a lot more of that. We'll see more of that kind of trauma affecting children. We'll see more of those negative outcomes. Unfortunately, I think we'll continue to see more kids exposed to maltreatment because of some of these risky arrangements. Statistically, an unrelated adult in the home is extremely dangerous to a child. They're the most likely person in a child's life to cause them harm. So when we have the family being redefined and parentage being on the basis of intent, unrelated adults being paired with children without having to go through background checks, the way that a lot of these Uniform Parentage Acts have redefined that, I think we're going to see an increase in child maltreatment, which is going to be a tragic, horrific consequence of this family redefinition.
Yeah, and treating children like commodities, then it's like any materialist item, it gets destroyed over time. I'm curious, how would you encourage, parents to kind of to stand up for the rights of their children and then also the rights of others?
I would say start with educating themselves, get to know the issue, get to know what's going on. We have some great resources on that on our website. We've got a fast facts section that gives just a quick overview of all of these different issues that are affecting children's rights. Be willing to say something. Kids are at a disadvantage because they're not able to advocate for themselves in public policy. They're not able to advocate for themselves in culture. And adults are the ones who are in the position where they're able to speak for children, and they should. Adults need to be the ones stepping up, saying, "Hey, the kids matter, and this is going to affect kids." And then, as a parent, being willing to engage your child in those conversations as it's age appropriate. One of the things that I really appreciate that Katie emphasizes in her book, Raising Conservative Kids in a Woke City, is being the expert. Be the one who engages your child with these questions before anyone else gets to them, and help give them a framework and a good groundwork of how to think through these things. A lot of it is just be equipped with knowledge and then be willing to share that knowledge.
Excellent. I'm curious what I asked you the question about, like, oh, what do you see if the consequences of this happening? To flip that question over, like, what would you see as a future for, let's say, the United States of America if adults started taking the rights of children more seriously, what would America look like, let's say, in 10, 15 years?
I think we would see cultural transformation. I think, we would see adults who are healthy and thriving because they were healthy and thriving children. And when you have a society full of people who are thriving because their rights were valued as children, they were respected as individuals, their needs were met. I think that you're going to have a very healthy culture that results from that. And I think a lot of the breakdown that we're seeing is because we have adults who were victimized as children by the choices of the adults and of the adults in their lives at the time. I think it would be transformative if the rights of children were put first.
If you could summarize kind of like let's say three main points as to how an adult could respect the rights of a child, what three things would you say that are like the most critical things?
I would say recognize that children's rights come before what you want as an adult. Recognize that marriage matters to children. Children deserve to be raised by their own married parents. That is the best possible arrangement for them. That is best case scenario. And that's what adults should be striving for. So for parents, be working to have strong and healthy marriages. Because your kids need that, and your kids will see that, and they will value that more than you will ever know. And then be willing to speak up against injustice. Be willing to say something when you see something.
Excellent. You had mentioned that you have that resource on your website. Are there any other resources that our parents could find on them before us, in order to help in speaking out against these injustices?
So on our website, we've got our fast facts. Like I mentioned, we also have the book, Them Before Us, that gives an overview of all of these issues that I've talked about, as well as a small group curriculum. So if there are, a handful of adults who want to go through it together, or if they want to go through it online, there's some great discussion topics in there. And then also, if you join our email list at thembeforeus.com, we'll keep you in the loop about various legislative concerns, things happening in culture, and really give you an opportunity to be involved as things are coming up.
Excellent. And that's important, especially since I was just telling you I have no idea what those things were bills. I think that's really important. So to sign up for those notifications that you know when to vote and how to vote. That's excellent. Well, thank you. Do you have any final thoughts for our parents or for our audience?
Well, I would say with the election cycle coming up, one other thing on the website that I'd like to point people to is our Pro-Child Politics Pledge. where you can pledge to vote pro-child in this election and to prioritize the rights and needs of children as you cast your ballot. So I would encourage people to check that out as well.
Excellent. We'll definitely link that in the show notes. Thank you
Well,
so
thank you
much.
so much.
Yeah, it was great talking to you, and we wish the best for them before us and continuing doing your work.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ferris Love Podcast. In 2024, we want to reach as many people as possible. You can help by sharing this episode with a friend, subscribing to the podcast, or leaving a review. To learn more, visit us at ferrislove.shrine.org.